Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. Extend a welcome to the visitors. I trust you have found the encouragement to be here and worship with us thus far. And as we go into this time of the message, trust you will be encouraged as well as each and every one of us. I don't usually like to use a comedian to start a message, but I'm going to do that this morning. There was something that happened that I heard when I was young, and we had it when I was in a youth, and we got a hold of it, we heard about it, and it kind of affected our ball game. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever heard the who's on first, what's on second, and I don't know who's on third, and something happened this week, and I thought about that, and it just all of a sudden rang a bell with me. I'm like, oh yes, I remember hearing that at one time. So I have to apologize. I got my phone out, I Googled it, and it was there, and I had to listen to it again, and I don't encourage to feed on that stuff, because I find it in my own self that it appeals to the flesh. But it got me thinking as I thought of the message this morning. And I've entitled the message this morning, Who Am I? Who am I? You know, these two comedians went on about who's on first and what's on second, and they get all confused because they don't know who's where, and they go around and around. Question here we have this morning is, who am I? And I want you each to make it personally. Who am I? My message is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to jump from chapter 2 into chapter 3, and we're going to read a number of verses here. But we're going to look at three different types of people this morning. And I want you to think about who you are and where you fit in this picture. Who am I? Let's start reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We could read this whole chapter 2, and we are not going to take the time. It would be good, you know, if we'd read that. But you do that sometime. But our three people are found in from chapter 14 on into chapter 3. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? Let's stop reading there. This passage, if you remember in our Sunday school, it is taken from 2 Corinthians, where we were studying in Sunday school. Paul is here talking to the Corinthians, and this is one of the first times he came to them, and he's addressing things with them. And he lists these three, and we're going to look at them. We got three kinds of that we can be today and what we want to look at. The first one is in verse 14, the natural man. Okay, so we have the natural man. He has senses of the world. In other words, he has everything that you and I have, but it's worldly. It's the senses of the world. He's thinking in the world. The second one is in verse 15. He that is spiritual. We have the spiritual man. We want to look at that then. The regenerate man. You know, that man that's religious. And the third one is found in chapter 3. And we find the carnal man. The carnal man, and we're going to look at that as well. Let's look at them in that order. Well, we said the natural man, he has senses. He has the senses of the world. This man is living in the world. He's living like the world. He's living no different than what we call worldly today. We could read in the first part of this chapter 2 and how Paul and his message was preaching Christ and Him crucified in verse 2. Christ and Him crucified, and he's preaching it, and it's something that these natural man does not have. We go to verse 3 and 4, and Paul is preaching the power of God. And our brother talked about the power of God this morning in the devotions. God has infinite power. This natural man doesn't know that. He doesn't understand that. And so Paul is preaching, and he's trying to reach this natural man, this man that's without Christ. This natural man had not been born again. He is not born again. In fact, he can't even understand spiritual things. That's what it says in verse 14. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Why would he become a Christian? Why would he tie himself in with a group of Mennonites? I don't understand why you'd want to be a church member. That's the natural man. He is not born again. We could go to that where Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." This natural man has not experienced it. He doesn't know it. The new birth experience is not part of his life. When he reads the Bible, and he cannot understand the Spirit of God, he cannot understand the Spirit working through the Bible, he don't get it. It's just a book maybe to him that he don't understand. How can this affect his life? How can this change a person's life? How can it make a difference? How is this food for your soul? He don't understand it. It must be just a storybook. Must be just a storybook. How else do you explain it away? When natural man today in the world has gone to the billions of years for the creation, when it's must be just a story in the book. Must be what they think. It is so black and white. If you take them to Genesis, in the beginning God created. There's a creator God that has made everything. But he wants to ignore it. He wants to go around it. And he can't understand it all. How would it fit in his picture of what he wants? What he's feeding his life? Well, what is the end? What is the destiny of a natural-minded man? And I use the word man as a generic. It fits to this side of the house and it fits to this side, okay? As I'm speaking here this morning and preaching this morning. What is the destiny of a natural man? Destruction. Forever destruction when it comes to the end of life. What is his need? What keeps him from that eternal destruction? We talked about it already. Salvation. Somehow we got to get the natural man from his natural way of thinking and his senses and his relationship with the world, and we must bring him out of that. And Paul is preaching to them, these Corinthians, and calling them out to something different. And the need of a natural man is salvation. We could go to those many verses. We take people to as they come when they respond at a revivals or something. We take them to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's that's where the natural man is there. We have all been there. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All people are naturally lost. But it don't stop there. All people that are naturally lost can be saved. Romans 10 verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you thankful for that? That brings us to the second man. I trust that if you're here this morning, you don't find yourself as you looked at, who am I? You're not confused if you're the natural man and you're dealing in things of the world and you have never given your heart to the Lord. I trust that you are one that you know where you're at. So you can do something about it. Let's go to the second man, the spiritual man. That regenerate man, that religious man, the man that has given his life to the Lord, he understands what it is like to have his sins washed away and to be in right standing with the Lord. He was once a natural man. He had his senses. He had the human nature in him. He was one that had that sin nature in his life. And he realized that he needed Jesus. He needed that new birth experience. He needed the cross to make a difference in his life. The spiritual man. That salvation was given to him. That salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. That he went to the cross and he died for his sins and he was washed. You know, he's not living life in a doomed atmosphere anymore. He's delivered. He's set free. He's changed directions. The natural man, when we are born, we're born with the sin nature. He is on his way to destruction, death, eternal death. But the spiritual man is changed. He's bound for heaven. He has a different focus. He is heading in a different way. Let's go to our 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's read verses 11 to 13. And think about this. What happens to this spiritual man? Verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You want to stop reading there. And I want to pull from these passages the fact that in the spiritual man's life, there is a Holy Spirit working in his life, and it is teaching him things. The conscience pricks. As he reads God's Word and God is talking to him, the conscience pricks. It's a Holy Spirit working in his life, and he does something about it. That's a spiritual man. The Holy Spirit is teaching that spiritual man. And when he opens the Bible, he finds before him an inexhaustible truth that he just can't get enough of. He needs it for life. He needs it to go through life and to be victorious. The spiritual man, as he looks about him and he reads in God's Word, and then he looks about him and he sees the world, the happenings in the world, he don't have to go to the millions of years. It says in Genesis chapter 1, In the beginning, God created. That's the God he is serving. And he believes in faith. He understands all things. He sees God at work in the world. When the word says that in the last times, perilous times shall come. And he starts seeing men being lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud. And you go on the whole list there. He starts seeing that and he understands that the time is coming when the Lord's going to come back and receive him. He understands that. Beyond that, when circumstances come to his life or her life, when the trials come, we wonder why. We realize God's at work. And we just resign ourselves to it. And strive to understand what he is trying to teach us about life. That's the spiritual man. Well, we said the world doesn't always understand what it is that draws somebody to give up the things of the world and to associate with this spiritual man. What is it? Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15. We have some words of Jesus. And I'd like to read this. We think about this fact of the spiritual man and what he might go through in life. John chapter 15, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Oh, you're not the first one that somebody doesn't like you. The world hated Jesus before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. Because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. You're going to go through life, and people aren't going to always understand you. People, the world for sure aren't going to understand you, but maybe sometimes it comes closer to that, closer home than that. Maybe there's sometimes people in the brotherhood that don't understand you because we're all made a little different. And as we went through our Sunday school, you know, he made some apostles, some prophets. We all have our differences. And we've got to work them out. The spiritual man understands that there is going to be differences. And you may not always be understood, but that's part of the Christian life. We have a God that understands us. What more do you need? Yes, we want to be understood and accepted here on this earth. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. What does the spiritual man have that changes his life so much? Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That makes a difference in our life. We're trying to think like God thinks. We have his mind. We're trying to work like, what does he have for us? And what is this going to help me, benefit me in my Christian life? Because that's what God's doing for us. He wants the best for you in your Christian life. Spiritual man has the mind of Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? I'd like to read some verses in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, there's a different mind here. We are walking in the Spirit. We're a spiritual person. There's a different mind in us. Let's jump on down to verse 22. And this is what the mind of Christ brings forth in your life. As we look at Christ and we follow Christ, this is what it brings forth. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. There's a lot packed in that passage as we ponder those fruit of the Spirit. As we have the mind of Christ, the spiritual man will strive to let these fruit bring forth fruit in his life and to make a difference in his life. He'll be letting it have its free course in his life. He'll be walking in the Spirit, like it says in verse 25. Living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Because he has the mind of Christ and he's letting it affect his life. The third one. The carnal man. The carnal man that it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This man, this carnal man, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the way we're going to take it this morning, and as I studied into it, I believe I'm still right in thinking this. The carnal man believes that there is a God. He's not like the natural man. He believes that there is a God. He maybe even went to the point of the spiritual man and he has given his heart to the Lord. But through trials in life, maybe it was never totally given over. Maybe he only wanted to go part ways. He's left the flesh start creeping into his life. It has free course in his life. Somewhat. Did you catch that? Somewhat. Oh, it's time to go to church Sunday morning. Put on our suit, we go to church, we sit in the pew. We listen, we worship we were thinking mostly about what's happening Monday morning, but we worship. And we go back home and we live like the natural man. He maybe even made profession of being a spiritual man. I believe that's who we're talking about as we talk about the carnal man. And that's who I want to think about as we think about this third person of who am I? Am I this and I trust not? We want to be in the middle. We want to be that spiritual individual we talked about. But let's look at this carnal man. Again, Galatians chapter 5. I just read from there. I want to read some verses that we left out in our first reading as we thought of the spiritual man. Galatians chapter 5, and we are going to read. Well, let's catch all the verses that we didn't read. We stopped at the end of verse 16, so let's start at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Stop reading there. These are the lusts. These are the The lust of the flesh that man is born with. Natural man left to himself is going to go to these. It's the sin nature that is passed on all men. Now turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy again. And I think I believe I said earlier that had this in Sunday school, but we didn't. It's probably just in my studies. I thought we had it in Sunday school, but that's all right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to read the first five. It'd be good to read the whole passage, but let's just read the first five. And as we think of this carnal man, this man that can be any one of us, we've named the name of Christ, but we've left the lust of the flesh creep in. And we live in here, we're a member, but are we a member? If you understand what I'm saying, let's read. Think about that. What does it say about the last days? Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Do you see the carnal man there? In verse 5. He has a form of godliness. Our brother talked about the infinite power that God can give us to be victorious. This man doesn't have it. He's bumping along, partially victorious. My question I have this morning as we ponder about this, as you look at who am I, is your life a life of true godliness? Or is it just a form? Does it mean anything more to you than the benefits you can get out of it? You see, the carnal man, it gets to be just a form. He's just going through life. The carnal man is confused. He don't know where he stands at. Because there's these things that are happening in the last days, and they're creeping into his life, and he don't understand it. There's pride, and he's disobedient to parents, and he's unthankful, and he's unholy, and you just, his mind is going in the gutter all the time, and you put it there. There's a whole list there. He has a form of godliness, but he don't have the power to get on top of it. He don't have the power to rise above it, because he has not availed himself to the power that God gives. He's not willing to go the whole way. He's like the natural man living for the moment and what he can get out of it. Whereas the spiritual man is laying up treasures in heaven. And here's a man, this carnal man, that's trying to have both. It don't work, brothers and sisters. You can't be going north and be going south at the same time. It don't work. You can't be going to heaven and serving Satan. It don't work. This carnal man is trying it though. He knows what's right. He knows what's asked of him. He knows what the Bible speaks about. And he knows what truth is. But he doesn't do it. Why should he? He can hide. He's missed the point. He's missed heaven. Oh yes, he can sit and say, "Oh, I know the world is lost. I know that there's sin out there, and I know there's immorality. I know there's wickedness out there." But he dabbles in it. Think with me of Lot. You know, the choice was there for Lot. Abraham gave him a choice in life. Said, "You choose where you're going to be." And Lot chose those plains and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And there was an influence that came in Lot's life. He lost his family from lingering in Sodom. All he had when he left Sodom was just him. Well, his wife went with him. But she was still attached to Sodom. And she turned back. She hankered after those things again. And she turned back and God sent judgment there. Him and his two daughters escaped. Today, I think this carnal man is probably some of those that are the hardest to reach sometimes, because the fact is that they can feel all right, dabbling in between. Somehow, God's going to just overlook it when we get to the judgment. Brothers and sisters, he won't. He can't tolerate sin. We see churches today that are allowing things that are contrary to scriptures. I'm not talking about our denominations. But churches at large that are allowing things that are contrary to scriptures and somehow appeasing man's mind that it's okay. It's not. It's carnal. You can't make it to heaven with that. And God's scripture says, that's the way it is. You can't overlook truth and expect to make it through. Well, what does a carnal man need? You know, he needs to start back with Christ again. He needs to go back to the cross and have his sins forgiven him. The same place that spiritual man had to start at. And he needs to turn it all over. Why? He wants that power for victory. He wants to be an overcomer. He needs that full commitment to Christ. He is done with the world. Yes, we have to live in the world and its effects sometimes rub off on us. I'm not here to put somebody on a guilt trip that falls into the traps of the devil and the allurements of the world. But I'm calling you, brothers and sisters, to think about it in your life. Who are you? Are you still on fire for the Lord? Is there still spiritual life in you? Or is a carnal man sneaking in? So I have some questions to ask as I ponder that. Who am I? Who are you? I trust we're not like those ball players, that we don't know where we're at. And we can't explain it to anybody. Somebody asks us a question, we don't know, we can't explain because we get all confused. Brothers and sisters, there's no reason to get confused. It's here. If it's a spirit, if you're a spiritual person, you can go to the truth and you can find the answers. Which person are you? Which person am I? Today, can you meet Christ in your prayer room where you're at? If you're not that close to Christ, who moved? Is it you or is it God? Well, we know from Scripture that God doesn't change. So He's not the one that moved. That only leaves one person to move. And that's us. That's me. And that's you. We can walk away in the carnal nature that's within us. I trust that we are staying close. Is Christ making you a spiritual person that you ought to be? Is He building you up? Are you striving to live more for Him as you ought to? Closing verses, 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We didn't read this far, but I'd like to read verse 10 and 11 as some closing verses as we ponder this. Of who am I? Verse 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I read those verses because there is no other way to get to heaven other than through Jesus and His shed blood. And to let the world come in and take our relationship with Him is a detriment to our soul. And it's going to doom us for eternity. Let's do something about it today while we still have the day of grace. Let's kneel for prayer.